Hey, so we're gonna go ahead and get started. Appreciate all of you being here tonight. It's good to see all of you. This is the Town of Daniel Council meeting, Monday, May 6, 2024, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South Main, 500 East in Heber City. We're glad to see all of you here tonight, and we'll just go ahead and get started. So our first agenda item is public comment. If anybody has any public comment, feel free to come up to the podium, state your name, and let us know what you want to say. Okay. Let's go to agenda item number two. And agenda item number two is set a public hearing for a zone change on the Scott Kill property. And so I'm just briefly going to discuss this for just a second. Last month, this came before the Planning Commission. We had a public hearing and at the Planning Commission. And now this, basically we have to set a public hearing at the council now. And we're not going to really discuss this tonight, but we're going to set a public hearing for June, our first meeting in June. And so I will basically call for a motion at this point, unless there's further discussion about this. If the council has any questions, or feel free to ask them at this time.
What would be that date, Kim?
I think it's June 3rd. I was actually just going to check that.
June 3rd would be the next council meeting.
I move that we set a public hearing for the Keel property zone change for June 3rd. Town Council agenda.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
And yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, agenda item number three. Possible approval of a small subdivision application from T&H. And this individual's here tonight. And so we're going to turn a little bit of time over to you if you want to come up. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I put everybody on the spot.
I love it.
And will you just explain to us, the council, I've sat in a few meetings with you, so I know what we're talking about, but the other council members might have a couple questions.
So is there a map of it that you can put up? Or no.
Map.
They have a map in their packet.
We have a map in the packet. Correct. Sorry.
Can you state your name?
Rowdy Thompson.
Kim? Is it that one?
No, it's going to be... this one. Looks like that. And then there's a black and white one underneath.
Should be right behind his application.
His application's in red.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, so I've met with Ryan Taylor and Eric a few times to try to, you know, figure out what we wanted to do with this piece of property and how we wanted to go about to keep Daniel's you know, happy with what we were doing. And so these guys felt like they had a say in what we were doing. What we're wanting to do is put this in a three-lot subdivision, 5.19 acre lot that border Little Sweden, and then a larger lot that's on faces Highway 40. And then we got a 20-foot easement for fire escape along the property boundary of Ed Houston and Justin Davis. Eric's recommended that we go to a 25-foot easement, so if we decide to pass this today, we'd like to put that in the notes for a 25-foot easement.
So that 25-foot easement, just so you guys know, will run down the east side of this property. If you look at that...
So do they have two copies? There should be another copy. It's got the...
There's a color one and a black and white one.
The black and white one shows the easement along that property line.
Right. And so that would just run down the east side of that fence line in that first 5.19 acre law, the east law, right here. Yep.
Just to clarify, I see these two 5 acre lots.
Yep, and the bigger lot's 21 point something acres.
So it's a total of three.
Yep, three lots.
Yeah.
The bigger one was 21 point what? Three? Sorry, I can't read it on my...
I think it was 21.3, wasn't it?
Yes.
With, in our conversation. So
okay, and the smaller lots are 5.19 acres. Correct? Okay.
I'm just gonna ask that. So the 2 5-acres are accessed from Little Sweden, right?
Correct.
21 acres can only be accessed then by Highway 40?
Correct.
You'll get a permit from UDOT to be able to do that?
Yep.
I've already talked to them.
So that's the future of that law. It will be probably commercial.
I don't know what the distance between entrances off of Highway 40 is.
So I don't know. As of right now, it's all up in the air because as of right now, UDOT's supposed to be putting a traffic light in right on the corner of this property, so that'll be eventually when that's developed is when the traffic light goes in.
But UDOT has said you've got a sufficient frontage,
yep,
to be able to guarantee an access off of Highway 40.
Yeah, and they've said it's all up in the air with being able to put the stop light in.
I know that it used to be like, I don't know, like 700 feet or something like that between allowable exits and entrances off of that highway, and I don't know what that number is.
It wouldn't be that close, just because of the ones up the street are a lot closer. I mean, they're within 150.
That's what I'm saying. So yours would be predicated upon where the next one to the north is, because they're only going to allow so many entrances and exits off of that highway.
Well, and it all depends on where the light gets put.
The light won't be an issue. That's a major arterial, and if you've checked that, I'm not questioning that, but that major arterial has designated exits and entrances within a certain distance. Maybe you know the answer.
Yeah, we've done, I'm actually not related to this project at all, but we've done quite a few projects along Highway 40, and the access spacing, depending on the use, is about 500 feet. However, UDOT has recently made basically all of Highway 40 south of the junction limited access to where you have to do a special application.
That's it.
And get a limited access break.
You've done that, or will do that.
Yeah, in the future.
Because I think that would be an important issue for you to secure that prior to you thinking that you can develop that commercially if indeed they're going to give you one of those special application permits.
It's a bit of a process, the limited access.
It is a process.
So that process won't happen until development happens. What this process is doing tonight is if you guys don't have anything to change on that subdivision application, this gives them the right to go and build the Mylar. They're expensive. That Mylar will come back and Scott will sign that. Planning Commission signs that. So it has a bunch of signature blocks. And so that's what it's looking at, and the county surveyor. So if there's something on here that you see it needs to change, then that's what this is for, this meeting.
I'm not questioning the zoning. I'm not questioning the division. I am just telling them out of courtesy.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, if you're thinking you're going to build that and you don't have an access, you probably better secure that access because they are tough to come by.
Okay, Eric, thank you for clarifying that. Is there any other questions or concerns?
So, right now, the property as a whole is an RA5 zone, right? Or is part of that commercial?
No, it's all RA5.
It's all RA5. Yes. So you haven't attempted to do anything to change the zoning on that, but if you get access to Highway 40, is that something that you might be considering?
That would be something considered in the future.
Will you send a new map with the new 25-foot easement?
Yep.
So I can add it to the record?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to call for a vote on this, or call for a motion, not for a vote. I'll call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the subdivision, the T&H application for small subdivision.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Ben, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4, business license approvals. And we have 2 new business licenses tonight, and we'll start with the application for the Peak Adventure Park, Eric and Carly Johnston. The physical address of that is 3500 South Highway 40, Daniel, Utah. The nature of the business is entertainment, and I believe you're here, right? Nice to see you both. Do you guys want to get up and say anything to the council? We'll turn a little time over to you.
So we are trying to open a family entertainment center. We are offering trampoline park, arcade, inflatables, laser tag, cafe type of things for all ages, from little tiny, and we have a section for little tiny kids, and then up to teenagers for something for everybody to do. We're trying to get in the Trono building right there, and we're hoping to get the business.
How many square feet of that building do you want?
Will be the entire bottom floor, which is about 23,400, give or take.
So are you planning on moving forward with your business, even if it's not subdivided into commercial condos?
Yes.
That's up in the air still. So.
Yep.
But we are interested in buying the building if it is passed.
And if you buy it, will you still subdivide it?
Well, I think it has to be subdivided, so because the upstairs is there, so I think it has to be subdivided so at least we could have
I think it makes sense.
They're talking about just buying the main floor, the main floor.
So I think subdivision has to happen for us to be able to do it.
Have you done this before? Is this something you've?
We both own businesses. Eric's been in the entertainment industry for 20-something years. He's a film producer, and I own a online retail store, so we both own businesses that we both have. I mean, we have children together, and we just wanted something for our children to do. So we've been researching it for almost 3 years now, and just getting, we have a contracted supplier that is supplying the trampoline equipment, but they are also basically giving us the franchise experience. So they are helping us from start to finish to open, and they're basically like our consultants on everything that we need to do. We have two other consultants that we've gotten information from and things like that are also willing to help us through this whole process. So we're like first-time park owners with a franchise opportunity. So.
Thank you.
Any questions for these individuals?
So, what would your hours of business be, do you think, do you see?
Right now we have it from 10 a.m. to about 8 or 9 p.m. on weeknights. And then weekends, we're looking at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., and it would definitely vary on what the success of the patronage is. But we're hoping to give something for the high school kids to do after prom night or, you know, different things, so they would have the opportunity to be there after hours of normal business hours. But the building is very insulated. There wouldn't be a lot of noise from the building. And, you know, the parking lot's right by Highway 40, so we don't plan on it being a big problem of noise out there either.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's everything's set in place, I think, isn't it?
Okay.
Zoning to everything.
No. Everything's good on the building, zoning?
Yep, there was a recommendation from the Planning Commission to approve on this application.
Yep, this went before the Planning Commission a few weeks ago, and so if you don't have any other questions, then I'll just, I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the Peak Adventure Park. 3,500 South Highway 40.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Ben, yes.
Pearson. Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. You guys can leave whenever you want or stay as long as you want.
It's not going to be as exciting as last time, right?
We don't want to kick anybody out of here, but
we may change our mind if you stay.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay, we have one other business license to approve. It's called Me and Sonny LLC. Andy Langton. His physical address is 6121 Santa Monica Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. And what this application is for the filming of a Hallmark movie that started last week. They started filming. They're up to the Hobbs property right now, and they've been filming up there.
It's been a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. But if you have any questions, I don't have a lot of answers on this one other than I think it's a good thing. So I'm going to call for a motion.
Make a motion to approve the business license for Me and Sonny LLC.
Okay. Call for a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and go to agenda item number 5, and this is a discussion from the Rural Water Rate Study and Asset Management Discussion. I want you to just be aware.
Sorry, you don't need to sit through this if you had something to tell.
I was curious about this.
Okay.
Okay.
Just checking.
And so we're going to turn the time over to Dennis Gunn, and he's gonna go ahead with this discussion. We're going to go sit down on the other side. He has a presentation help with slides and stuff, and so we'll move to the other side, and we'll discuss that as we go. Thank you, Dennis.
Well, I hope this is beneficial. You might be able to
sorry if I didn't give you
a Robin, it's the one by you. I knew. Switch by you is the light.
Okay. I'll sit around and have a look close, but hopefully not too close.
Drinks and popcorn.
Hey, I'm telling you what.
Did you see me running in here?
There's nothing wrong with Heber Valley. That's how we settled business was with popcorn. So that was Scott who started that.
Just right inside this door, Robin, right there.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll start off real quick. Ladies.
Sorry.
Seriously.
We're out of control.
I'm just kidding, because usually it's me doing this. And my gosh, Mayor, 5 acres? Do you know how many homes they'd be trying to shove in Heber? 5 acres? 500,000 of them.
Yes.
So, anyway. I can say that. Let me introduce myself to you briefly. My name is Dennis Gunn, and some of you may recognize my face, maybe not. You probably heard me on the radio because I've been on the radio a couple times. So, 33 years in wastewater. Started out coal mill, had a coal mill plant for 22 years. I'm over here, and I just retired from Heber Valley Special Service District as the general manager. Yes, the plant smells funny occasionally. Anyway, I got involved with Rural Water. It was kind of a career goal that I wanted to do, and after a while, doing management stuff kind of becomes the same old. But over that 30 plus years, there's some things that I really noticed was a big issue, and one of the things that's always been kind of something that worry about, and that is asset management. And this is a subject that is never fun, and it's never a thrill, because nobody's going to get a park named after them for it. But down the road, if you'll implement these tools, people are going to really like you. They probably won't know about it, and they won't know that's why, or what we all do is trying to help each other. I have a slogan that I've pretty well spent my whole career with. It's written at the bottom. It says, each of us has a stewardship over that which is entrusted into our care. It is up to us to employ specific talents and resources given to ensure its preservation and enhancement. That's what our responsibilities are here as community leaders, right? And I'm not always going to stand, so I'll sit down and then you won't have to look at me. But anyway, so part of my other responsibilities after I retired from Heber Valley Special Services, I'm also the chairman of the Planning Commission in Heber City, which is why I said, oh dear, one home for 5 acres. I came from Colville, remember that part? Yeah, so 20 homes to the acre is insane. And that's a small development in Heber nowadays. So let's talk about asset management. What in the world do you guys think asset management means? What does that mean to you? This is a class. So.
Being good stewards.
Okay, being good stewards. All right, good.
Taking the assets that we do have and managing them so that they're beneficial.
Okay.
To yep. The town and to the public.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what we're charged with, isn't it? But have you ever really stopped and thought, what are our assets? You know? as a community, we have tons of assets. We have, I'm not sure how to get that thing to focus. There we go, that's better. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff that's our assets, right? We have pipelines, and I'm sure, do you guys run your own water system here? You do, don't you? That's what I thought. And so we have highways, we have fences. I'm sure the city owns, or the town owns fences. You have fire plugs, we have pumps, all kinds of equipment, we have vehicles. And I also have our staff, because our staff, and that'd be the council members, that's the employees that you have, all that kind of stuff are assets. The problem is this stuff gets in the ground and it gets buried and forgotten about a lot. And so it's important for us to manage these things. And it's like I was talking to my wife today, I said, you know, the thing that people don't understand, and this is something that I've dealt with my whole career, is that once you go and invest, you put a massive investment into this stuff. And it gets stuck in the ground and forgotten about. And I'll give you an example. One day, over to the plant Colville, I couldn't get my generator to take a charge on the battery, and I was like, so I get scraping around, you know how you do on there, and I looked at that battery. It was 10 years old. And I was like, they just put a new battery in this thing. And I get looking at it, and yeah, 10 years ago. I had no idea it was that old. No wonder it wouldn't take a charge. So the problem is this stuff can happen really fast, and a lot of community leaders don't really necessarily recognize this. Because reality is, a lot of times, we'll run for these leadership positions and say, you know, hey, I'm going to throw the bums out. I've got a better way. I think I can do a better job than those guys, and I want to get in there and fix some things and whatnot. And so leaders get involved in community leadership, and then all of a sudden they get the election, and then the mayor gets a tap on the shoulder and says, oh, by the way, you now are the proud owner of a water system, and maybe even, if you're lucky, a sewer system, and you're like, what in the world do I do with all that? And this is where rural water comes in to help you out. And this is what we do. This is part of what we do, is we help communities, smaller communities, to know how to manage their infrastructure. And as I go through this, you're going to see some things here that are going to be a little bit interesting. So I put everything on a timeline, and hopefully to try to explain what I'm trying to get at. And really and truthfully, it really didn't, I mean, this has always been something I've worked at, and I've really tried hard to get people to understand the concept of literally putting money away for the future and managing their infrastructure. And it didn't really dawn on me until, so one of the programs that I work with Rural Water is with the tribal units and the tribal systems. And so I was talking to one of the ladies back in Oklahoma, where our national Rural Water is, one of our national people, and she said, Dennis, I think the reality is the septic tank in my house has been in there since HUD put it in there in the 70s. I don't think anybody's really ever looked at or done anything with it. I thought, holy crap, you're right. Now, this is going to really sound funny to some of us who are in this far down the timeline. 1970 was 50 years ago, which is really hard for me to believe, because I remember when 1970s vehicles weren't very old. And when you think about it, if you're looking at 100 years for a concrete pipe, for example, we're halfway through that life. So how much of our infrastructure in the ground do you have a savings account to replace? Think about that. So while we're going through this, I want you to just kind of think about what your infrastructure is in your community. Your water lines, fire hydrants, pumps, wells, buildings, any of that kind of stuff that you have. Because that is all the stuff that we need to take care of. I'm going to try and go through this a little faster than I put everybody through in our class last week. But this graph right here is one that I pulled off to show you and illustrate what costs are doing since we started into this. Now, if you think about it, I'll bring my mouse up here. If you think about it, here, 1980, you know, a lot of us were graduating high school during this period of time, and things weren't super expensive. And then they've kind of gone along kind of flat, typical inflation until 2010, and now look what's happening. I hear everybody saying, oh, it's inflation, and I say inflation my foot. It is deflation. it is deflation because the dollar can't buy as much as it used to. It's deflating the value of the dollar, and that's why it takes more dollars to accomplish the same goal. Okay? So this little blue rectangle right here is gonna come into play, because now we're gonna focus a little more on that, and we're gonna look at what inflation has done since 2017, and how much it's happened in the last couple of years here. You can see that we started out around 3%, was a pretty good average, right? And then we got down pretty low where you could actually bond cheaper than you could save money. So at one point it was less expensive to bond than it was to actually put money in the bank. But you can see what's happened to it, and this isn't even 2023, this is only to January of 2022, but look what's happening to our inflation rates. So as we move forward, here's that same little graph covering that same period of time. You can see that big spike. Yeah, we're recovering a little bit, but look what's projected. This is being projected by Peter G. Peterson Foundation. So they're showing that these rates are gonna keep going up and up and up, and we know that things are gonna get more and more expensive. When I was about 3 years back, I've been working with the board over there trying to get, because we hadn't raised rates in Heber Valley, I'm still having trouble with that part. I'm not there, I'm retired, but they hadn't raised rates in 25 years. And I said, look, you can't run a utility like that. We can't. We're not putting money away for any of our infrastructure. If we have breaks or equipment go down, we're running with 40-year-old equipment, that's just irresponsible. You can't do that. And so, we went ahead and finally made a change, and the board finally were able to bring themselves to making that change, and they made a small change, and we made enough to get by. Here's the point, however. When we did all those studies and all that stuff, we were working through 2021, when we were putting it all together. And I told the design people, I said, look, when you put those numbers together for our RFP, for our equipment, for that, because we had to do a lift station, I said, I want you to estimate that high, because we know we have inflation coming, we're setting up our impact fees, we're setting up our rates, I need you to estimate that high. They said, all right, point taken. They estimated $672,000 for that lift station. Guess what our low bid was? $1.2 million. That was low bid. That's what inflation did to us. So, of course, you know, that made my hair go gray. Actually, I wasn't gray before then. No, I'm kidding. But the point is that this is the kind of cost we're starting to see. This is what's happening in our society. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means that you want to decide really what level of service do you want to provide to your customers, and what do you want to do with your finances? Do you want to kick that can down the road? Now just think about that. If we kicked that lift station down the road, but if we'd have been 1 year earlier, we could have got that thing put in for half what it cost us. So I talked to a couple of communities who are putting in sewer systems, or have been talking about sewer in their communities. And those numbers would scare you, how much they keep going up every time. And the voters don't want to do it. And I keep thinking, okay, I'm not necessarily here pro high rates. That's not my goal. My goal is pro low rates. Like I was talking to you, Mayor, this morning or earlier. So the public works director, when I first started out in Colville, his name is Doug Moore. Some of you may know him, maybe not. He's a farmer from over there, and he uses a lot of practical common sense. And what he always said is, then anytime you're thinking about doing rates or anything like that, the first person you need to think about is the little old lady on the corner who is on a fixed income trying to decide whether she's going to buy her pills this month or buy food. I've never forgot that. And I've always tried to figure out what is the best way to keep those rates down as low as I possibly can. And so the one thing that concerns me is this concept. If we don't want to do it, so we vote it down. Well, that's great. So we vote it down. What happens in 5 years when we have to do it? And now it's not our choice anymore. Now we have to go and raise rates so we can pay for what we need to do. the costs are going to be way higher, right? That's why in that graphic, you can see that can gets bigger. It's not coming closer to you, it's just getting bigger, because that's what happens. So what we have to do is try to figure out how to finance this. Now, Janine has been working on a rate for you, which is kind of why this came about, was to sit down and look at, because now's the time if you're going to do rates, you know, it's kind of the old rip the band-aid off kind of concept, and I know everybody's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that, but maybe now's a great time to do that. I'm not trying to encourage you to do rates, but rate increases necessarily, Mayor, I'm just telling you that you got to do this. I'm not here promoting your rates increases, but I will tell you that I feel that a lot of phone calls when we raised rates from Heber Valley, you know what the comments were? I had not one person say, why did you raise those rates so much? Do you know what they said to me? Why did you wait 25 years to do this? Every person wanted to know why we waited so long to do it. People understand that stuff costs more money. They go to the grocery store. They know that the things cost more money. We're not doing our citizens any kind of a favor by holding the rates down, because eventually it's going to cost more. So how do we go about doing this? What are the ways we can manage our assets and keep the cost down? Well, thing we need to do for an asset management plan is we need to build an inventory of what we have. Okay? That's not too complicated, right? You guys should be able to do that. You have staff that work for you that can go out and do that, right? And I identify all your equipment, and we'll walk through this. I've got a spreadsheet that I put together, and I think you guys have got a copy of that can help you break all this stuff down. We need to schedule and track our maintenance. We need to know how much is that pump costing us, or how much is that piece of equipment costing us. Because if we're starting to put a lot of money into this machine, maybe it's time to X-day the machine and put a new one in. So how do we do that? Okay, well, first off, we need to know exactly what we've got. And there's a lot of ways we can find that out. What we wanted, okay, oops, I jumped ahead, sorry, too far ahead. So, hang on, there. All right, we'll just go from here. So anyway, what we want to do is figure out all the equipment, the facilities we have, and the places we can do that is, well, obviously just drive around town, right? Do you have sewer manholes? I doubt it. You don't have sewer, right?
Right.
But you've got water meters, right?
Yep.
You got water lines, you got fire hydrants. You got stop signs,
yep.
Right? Okay, you got a well?
Yep.
Yep, you got a well pump?
Yep.
Okay, you have any buildings?
Yep.
Okay, so you got buildings that are starting, you know, the minute that you put those up, they start deteriorating from there. I preach and preach and preach at Heber City that every time you accept a street, you need to create this little sack of money. So if you can imagine what this concept literally is you're building a vault in City Hall that has little shelves with little sacks of money sitting on all those little shelves. And every one of those little sacks of money is identified something. Water meter number so-and-so. Fire hydrant such-and-such, right? And every time somebody pays money in for their utility bills or whatever, some of that money goes into each one of those bags. Maybe it's only a penny, maybe it's only a part of a penny. But each one of those little sacks gets done. And I'll go into this in a little more detail in a minute. But just think about that for a second. So, okay, so maybe we haven't been putting money away like that, right? That's fine. Well, let's start somewhere. So let's start, and now's a great time to start, because if we're gonna look at rates, then maybe now's the time to really look at all this stuff. Now, Janelle wanted to be here tonight, but for personal reasons, she's not able to be here. Then she was planning on being here up until a few hours ago, and then she had to cancel. So she can help us, or help you, take this information as we put it together with your staff and with you guys and your approval with it. and incorporate this into that rate structure, so you're putting the money away for what you need. And yeah, it's gonna be a little bit staggering at first, but not so bad once you get going. And I'll show you that in a minute. Okay, so what we have to do is this. We need to find out exactly what the current state of all of our equipment is. So we need to come up with a scale of how to rate all the stuff we've got. How old are your fire hydrants? Do they work? Do they leak? Okay, do they shut off? Okay. How about signs? How about our streets? Are you guys putting money away to replace your streets? Okay. How about that building you built? What about your well? What condition is that well, and how long has it been in service? What's a good life for a well? 30, 40 years? Where are you on that timeline? How about the pump that's in it? You know, pumps are in them, are good for about 10 years. How long has that been in and running? So how close are we to having to replace that? So we can sit down and figure all this stuff out to determine when and how long we want to leave this stuff in operation, so that we can take care of this stuff when we want to. I'll illustrate with another point, going back to Heber Valley. Heber Valley Special Service District uses that farm to irrigate, to get rid of the water. That's where the finished water goes on that farm. And there are large pivots in there, okay? There are 5 pivots primarily, except for the new stuff we added a couple of years ago, but I'm talking centrally the main part of the farm. Those pivots are already 20 plus years old on the second replacement. This is why I started raising this a long time ago. We rely on those pivots. If we can't get rid of that water to that farm, we're in trouble, because we don't have any redundancy. What happens if in, say, June or July, one of those main pivots fails? What are we gonna do? Well, first off, if we don't have any money put away, we're gonna be hunting money. That's gonna happen. The next thing we're gonna have to order, the lead time on those pivots is about 6 to 8 months. So that means we're outside our irrigation season and we don't have a pivot. So that means that now I have lost as much as 40% of my ability to dispose of water because I don't have that pivot. So think about that with your water system. What happens if you lost your well? Where would that put you? Okay? Here's the thing though. Developing an asset management plan and managing the finances like this, now you're in charge. So Heber Valley Special Service District now has a structure and it has this timeline. So knowing fully well that we started late, we can still project how long we think that equipment will make it, and we can start putting money away so that when it's time to replace that, we're a driver. We're not waiting for it to die. We can buy that now because we'll have the cash available. We save the interest, and when you, so like for example, when you bond for stuff, the bonding agencies can put restrictions on you. But if you have your own money sitting in the bank, you're driving. Now the council says, oh no, we're not paying Bacon Davis wages for this, we don't need to. We can go for a little bit, we can get what we need to do, we're in charge, we're driving. Not only that, we think that well's got a squeal in it, so we're gonna change that well this fall, but we're gonna order that pump in the spring so we've got it all ready to go, so when our irrigation season stops, then we can change that well when we want to, not because it broke. Does that make sense? So this is what we want to do is to evaluate what the condition is of all of our equipment, okay? This is going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it'll take you a little bit of time, but it can be done. We have to look at everything that we have. So, you know, when we started working on this a little bit in class, we started, you know, a few, and I just had a few people pop suggestions. They're like, yeah, we got this well and this and that. And I said, okay, so let's look at the components of a well. Well, we have a building, okay, good, those are helpful. We have a pump, that's nice. We have piping, okay, those are good. We have a check valve and a gate valve, and we have all the, you know, SCADA and all this kind of stuff. When you start breaking down all those components, there's a lot of different pieces to it. Now, some of those pieces are going to die, or they're going to have a different service life. So this is part of that that we put together, and you guys are in charge of when you want that kind of stuff to be changed. You guys are the ones who determine how you want to rank your equipment, how soon you want to replace that, okay? You can work with the engineering team. Is your engineer Ryan?
Ryan.
Yeah, he's a good man. You got a good engineer there. Is any of this making sense? Okay. All right. This is, if I get my mouse to go up here, this right here is a financial management plan. Now let's dive in and talk about this a little bit. Now this is available to you on, and it's kind of small, writing, I apologize for that, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into this thing. So let's jump over and talk about some of the stuff we want to collect. Is that easier to see? Let me see if maybe I can do one more. All right. Because this is really about you guys understanding this program, right? So I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about, see if it makes sense. So what we have here is this little imaginary place. And of course, because my background is wastewater, you can imagine what it is. A A1 water, wastewater reclamation facility anywhere in Utah. So there are some things we need to know about. Well, we can put in here in this thing, we can put in our inflation rate. It's kind of important to know, right? Especially when we've been seeing those high inflation rates. This is an annual thing you'll do once a year, and this thing will generate those and help you figure your interest rates if they go up. How many of you guys know what an ERU is?
Equivalent Residential Unit.
Okay, good. What is that?
A dwelling.
Could be a dwelling, right?
Could be an apartment.
Yep.
Could be something where people are living.
Could be living. How about commercial businesses? Do they use ERUs?
Of course.
Right? So that comes back to a comparison to one resident.
Comparison.
Yeah. So some businesses might have 20. A school might be 50.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, good. So you guys understand. That's cool. All right. So what this thing does now is we're going to go through and break down what our equipment is. Now in this particular case, this is just an imaginary city or an imaginary facility, and I put down we're going to have an auxiliary generator. We think that's a good idea, right? And we're going to put that in when the thing was built in 1996. Cost $75,000 to replace that right now. We've got a pickup truck, and we've got a backhoe. We got an old dump truck, still runs good, a little ether, fire right up. So we've got a few pieces of equipment here. Now some of this is probably not going to make sense to you because it is wastewater, but just imagine this is the same thing as having your parts of your wells. This one here you have a flume, so it's a flow meter, right? So that's the same thing what that is. So we're going to go down through there. We're going to break down all the equipment that we have. We're going to give each one of them a specific number. Now this is going to age me a little bit, but some of you folks will be all right with the reason my numbers are small and made up of three letters and three digits, is because back in the days of DOS, I knew it, see? You know where I'm going with this, don't you? All those things took up valuable memory. So you always wanted to be as small with your unit numbers as you could. I just haven't broken that habit. You can call it whatever you want, but that's why I do mine there. IPS grinder, inflow pump station grinder number one. It has a specific name. Everything is tied back to that number. So if you want to do asset management and go to the next level, which is where you manage that and you take and create work orders and track work orders and that might be a little complex for small community. That's how you do that. But that's where those numbers come from. And then we collect all this information, right? So this is for you to collect. You can put it all in here. And then It runs through this little fellow right over here that I refer to as a model. Now this guy right here, I'm gonna have to shrink that up a little so you can remember what that looked like, right? So we're gonna have to shrink it up and make it fit. So all that stuff auto-populates. Remember we saw that one, 1996 with the generator, right? So we're saying that that generator, you know, 30 years, do you think that's a good life on a generator? I mean, it's gonna run every week, it's supposed to cycle every week, so 30 years is a pretty good run for a generator and still be in its usable life. We can determine that. So we're saying 30 years. Well, this document is for 2023, which was last year. So that means we have 3 years left in its usable life, and then it's gonna be done. So it's conditioned, it's starting to leak oil, and you know, we're working on it and trying to keep it running because we wanna get it done. We gotta buy a new generator. That's coming. We started late. You can see how all that comes into play, right? So we're gonna put in there an estimated service life. When we changed it out, we're going 5 years on a vehicle. The backhoe, we went 20 years on it just because we're not ready to replace it yet. 25 years on the dump truck because, you know, it'll still go. Pushes the snow, does what we need to do, right? So what all that stuff does is it goes through and it calculates out how much money we're gonna need to put away every year in order to have the money that we need so that we can replace that when we want to replace it, not when we get into trouble, okay? And I think when you guys go through and do the inventory on all your equipment, I think you'll be surprised what value your infrastructure actually is and how valuable that asset is. Because you've also got pipes and, you know, the water lines and all that stuff you're responsible for. All right, so here's the deal. Because we're starting this right now on this infrastructure in this particular imaginary community, because we just started right now, the amount of our monthly bill in order for us to build this in this imaginary city, this is not how much it's going to be for Danieltown, it's just in this imaginary facility, our rate is going to be $70.33 for this. But your O&M, your debt retirement, all that other stuff is on top of that, okay? Does that make sense? All right. So, what if we would have done this 5, we'll go over there and do it in that one. You ever notice computers have to have their way? And they really don't care what you think, they just like it their way. Okay. So, now, had we started putting that away back in 96 when we built that treatment plant, now instead of being $77 a month, we'd only be paying $17 a month for that portion. And we'd have been putting that money away all the way up to now so that all that piece of equipment, when it come time to be replaced, would have the money in the bank sitting there, ready to go. Does that make sense? You following along what I'm doing here?
Yep.
Now, things we're in charge of. You guys are in charge of this whole thing, really. The things that you can do is this. You can adjust when, you know, when it was put in. You can say, you know what, maybe that thing will last 34 years, 35 years. If you're getting in a little bit of a jam and the money's a little tight, you can do those things. Give you an example, a flat out example is the district over there, we had our screen fail, and because we have all this growth coming, we're looking at, we had to go to a different type of screen because the way the building is designed, the reason that screen failed was because of a design imperfection or a flaw in the design. And so we're looking at about $1.7 million to replace the screen over there. Well, they're over there putting about $1.7 million away every year in order to fund this, right? Well, guess what? Where are you gonna get that $1.7 million now? Out of that fund. We don't have to go down here and bond and pay 6-7%. You know what's 5 or 6%? Think about that, over 20 years cost? It's a lot. It's a way lot. When I bought my house in Colville in 1992, I paid $40,000 for that house. We got an interest rate around 7%. And when it was done paying, when I would have paid that house off in 30 years, I would have paid the bank $106,000. So $40,000 and up there, that, what is that, $66,000 in interest. So borrowing $1.7 million to do that screen alone, they're gonna save right there how much money? Because they don't have to borrow the money. All they have to do now is go in and say, okay, everything is 30, now goes to 31. The trucks get an extra year, everything gets an extra year, we're gonna borrow the money out of this fund and pay for that stuff, because now we have the cash to do it. Does that make sense? So, questions you have to ask yourself. What level of service do you want to provide? What direction do you want to go? And how much do you want to provide for your community? And then we need to break down, how do we go about it? We should use SMART goals, right? You need to be realistic in what you want to do, okay? You need to look at our system. Will our system meet all state and federal regulatory standards? Does your water system meet all those things? Okay. Now, I did mention the S word, so I'm going to bring that back up again. You subdivided another lot. You have 3 lots now. This is one of the things that I watched in Colville. I'm watching it in Charleston. I watch it here as well. And that is because as these farms, you've got 6 kids, you've got your farm, grandpa's always able to make a living on it, right? Well, the problem is that now grandpa's gonna pass away. What are you gonna do with that property? You got 6 kids, you're gonna have to split that one. You're either gonna take 5 kids off or you're gonna split that 6 ways. Splitting it 6 ways now, is there still enough land for them to make a living on? Probably not. May not even be able to qualify for Greenbelt anymore. When that happens, it puts more and more pressure on the kids to have to do something different. One of the things that helps hold this down is wastewater treatment. County requires 5 acres. That's why we have minimum 5-acre lots. But eventually that's going to put pressure on the county or on the city's leadership, and you'll need to look to putting in sewer. That's something we can talk about another day. But in your long range plan, you may want to sit down and say, okay, is this something that we need to look at? Do we need to look to this for infrastructure? Should we start planning now and start putting a little bit away for that if that's the direction you want to go? That's up to you guys. I don't want to tell you that I'm telling you have to go to sewer. Remember the part about being from Hoytsville? So we didn't have a sewer system in Hoytsville. Are you kidding me? We only had 800 people. So I'm used to the smaller stuff, but these are the reality things, because there's 1,000 acres in Colville or in Hoytsville now that has been dumped on the market, and the Marriott Group and the ones that are building all the homes over there on the north end of Heber, I forget the name of them. Anyway, they bought all that property up, and now they're gonna develop that whole valley, which makes me wanna hurl, but it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. So, those are long-range things you wanna think about. Does that make sense? Or am I wandering off trail here?
No, it's happening everywhere in the whole country.
You know, and the thing is, like I was saying, you guys are, by holding out, you're raising the value of your property tremendously. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it is. And, but being the chairman of the planning commission, I feel like I'm standing out in the Pearl River with my hand up saying, stop, and the water's just running all around. You can't slow down, it's crazy. So much growth pressure. I don't know what that looks like in the future for you guys. I think, you know, that's up to you to figure, but if you can hold it back, you know, that's great, because that's tough to do nowadays with all the growth pressure. And some of those developers, so is this recorded meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Go ahead, speak your mind.
Getting more and more creative.
I already retired once.
How's that sound? Does that sound politically correct?
I think you're really letting them off the hook when you say that.
I gotta be careful. That's why I asked. You know, I don't want to offend, because I could cause them. Anyway. So you guys understand where I'm going? I'm not saying you're, I just think that's something that ought to be out on the horizon. I'm not encouraging you to do it, because like I said, I come from Colville. I love the rural part of Daniel, but as administrators, you know, that may happen down the road, and you can plan for that. So anyway, this gives you the ability to plan for assets that are gonna fail. And Eric was in my class, and I'm not sure which Eric was in my class, because you got quite a few Erics. Was it you, Eric?
It was me.
Eric, oh, there we go, Eric. Okay, thank you. So you recommended us coming here. How was the class?
It's awesome. I think this component of the assets is something they need to look at as they look at those rate structures. This is a component of that rate structure.
I fully agree with you. And the thing is, and this is kind of why I really, because it's totally outside my program to do this, but this is something I really passionately believe in. This needs to be done. And most communities don't think about it. We come in, we get our budgets, you know, we got all these numbers, we've got all this stuff just flying at us from everywhere, trying to understand it all. And if you can understand how half those accountants do a budget, then I'm proud of you. Because they like to complicate the crap out of it, so you can't figure out what you're doing. And a lot of times they have depreciation, and we think, oh yeah, well, we're depreciating this thing, but then we come back and pull out of the depreciation to balance our budget, so we don't have to raise rates, and what ultimately winds up with, we don't have to put any money away. And I talked to one city about that, and they're like, well, yeah, we fund our depreciation. And I said, okay, well, how much money you got in that account? I said, well, we got, like, man, we got $150,000 in there. I'm going, you are probably two orders of magnitude too low, because you are not going to replace your infrastructure for that. So you're in trouble. So you saw what I showed you with the rates going up and the costs going up and all that stuff. One of the ways we can fund all this stuff, remember, as I mentioned, we can do it with loans and grants. Well, in 1972, when the Clean Water Act came out, there was tons of money, federal money and all this stuff being poured into the Clean Water Act. And a lot of places got sewer systems put in for dirt cheap, pennies on the dollar and all that stuff. Go see if you can find that now. That's drying up. Water system money, drying up. You're going up and up and up on the ranking on the state revolving funds, and all this grant money is disappearing. And what they're requiring from the citizens is more and more and more. And like Janelle said, and I'm sure she told you when she came in here with your rate structure, you're gonna have to have an asset management plan in place to be able to even get money for grants or to even go for loans. So what's happening is, across the country now, we're starting to realize that, hey, we've got a problem. We've got all this infrastructure that was put in there 50, 60 years ago, We haven't been doing anything to it. How long's your septic tank been in? You think about that stuff, start thinking and realizing that, you know what? We've got all this infrastructure, and it's not just Daniel. It's everywhere USA is in the same boat. That if we don't step it up right now and start putting money away to take care of our infrastructure and do it this way, we're gonna be in trouble in a few years. It may not be in my lifetime, but eventually it's gonna happen. And I don't mean to get political, and I'm not trying to get political, but quite frankly, you cannot just walk in there and print money. Mayor, can you do that in your business?
No.
What?
No.
So if the house and materials and all that stuff cost more money, you can't just go in and hit print? And
no.
Well, the federal government can, right?
Yep.
And they did it. And they did it. And now look what they did to us, right? So this is the thing, is that if you can put this stuff away and get ready to do it, then you're in good shape. One of the key things to that is understanding your risks, okay? And I don't mean to turn my back to you guys, I apologize. Normally I'm standing in front of everybody, but understanding risk, remember that part about being able to slide those things up and down the timeline a little bit? That's literally what that is managing that risk. That is saying that, hey, we don't have the money in this account yet to replace the well pump. But we think we can get another couple of years out of that well pump. So let's try to get another couple of years out of that well pump and let's replace this fire hydrant. Does that make sense? While you manage this stuff as you move into this, because this is gonna be a little bit of a jump, you know. So understanding your risks, understanding what you have at stake. We wanna look at what are the best practices, because obviously if we're gonna take this and we're gonna make this change, this is literally a paradigm change. This is a change in the way we think. And it starts here. It's a change in the way we manage our equipment and our facilities. We don't just let it run and let it run and let it run until it dies. We're gonna start making sure that we've got the tools, the parts, the training, and the staff we need to do it right. Because ultimately, you saw what happened if we'd done this earlier, what the rate would be. That's the same thing. The earlier we can make this kind of stuff happen, the cheaper it's gonna be in the long run. It's not cheap up front, granted, but in the long run, it starts to become a lot less expensive because you're driving instead of other problems happening. Takes a plan. So the first step we need to do is go through and identify what equipment you have, what infrastructure you actually have, right? And then we need to figure out, okay, who's in charge of what now? In this particular case here, this gets into a little more on the work order side, and I'm assuming you don't do work orders?
That's correct, we don't.
Okay. So remember the part, you saw the map where I had a little pin sitting there and I said, today, right here, we're gonna start. If you want a really, really, really nicely designed, let me back that up. If you want a very fancy program, asset management program, EPA has one. It's very comprehensive. I'm not talking down EPA, but for small communities, EPA's program is incredibly complicated. I don't want you to get tripped up and saying, oh my gosh, that project is so complicated, there's no way I can do it. Let's start somewhere. Let's start simple. This is a very simple program. We can work into those things later, but let's start somewhere, right? We need to, and of course, this is going into that business of trying to figure out how we're gonna manage all of our O&M. Your O&M is still gonna run outside this, right? When I say O&M, I'm talking about chlorine, I'm talking about nuts and bolts and oils and greases and the electricity and all that kind of stuff. That's O&M, right? This is something that builds on the other side. And in fact, if you're gonna do this, where I was headed to, and I never got there because I got this opportunity and I retired, but. What you want to do, in my opinion, this is the world according to Dennis, I would get out a PTIF account for this specifically. and then generate this spreadsheet, because I can tell you, you're gonna have several million dollars in this account. And when a new city council or a new mayor or somebody comes in and looks at all that money, they're gonna say, hey, why don't we have a big reelect mayor so-and-so party? This is crazy, let's paint the town pink. Well, all that money is earmarked for that equipment, and that's why you wanna run that spreadsheet along with that account. So when somebody looks at that, they can say, oh, hold on a minute. There's not $5 million sitting in that account for me to do whatever I want with, because $57,000 goes to this. We gotta replace that water line in 20 years, and there's $110,000 there to go to that water line. And we've got four fire hydrants that are dying, and here's $25,000 for those fire hydrants. Does that make sense? So all that money is identified, and it's important to keep that structure so that people understand that. Because what you're really doing now is you're ripping that Band-Aid off to set the future up. And you may not fully benefit from what structure you're providing. This goes back to that asset thing that I told you right at the beginning. We're gonna use those talents and resources we've been given so that we can preserve and enhance Danieltown for the future and for those who come behind us. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and there's a lot of ways that we can break and we can adjust those costs, you know. And the mayor, when we talked earlier, I don't mean to keep going back to you, but you got your mayor's thinking about stuff, so I like that. Remember what Doug told me. What did Doug tell me? If I'm looking at rates, what did he tell me to do?
The old lady.
Think about the little old lady down the street, right? So I always wanted to think about that. Well, here's the deal. When you look at your rates, you can look at your water usage too, right? And there can be different tiers of water usage, because I can tell you that some of your homes are using 1,000 gallons, but some of those homes have teenagers. And they have to shower 6 times a day. So they're probably using 25,000 gallons. Well, is it fair for the little old lady to pay a high sewer bill so these guys get a lower sewer bill when they're not creating the impact? You know? So those are things that you can take into account when you start to structure your rates. Does that make sense? So you can either do it in one shot or you can do it now. Here's the deal. Kim, I'm assuming, is it Kim? Mm-hmm. Kim, you do the billing?
Nope.
Oh,
who does? But his wife does.
Oh, your wife does?
She does.
Oh, so we don't want to kill her off. So we probably want to set that up in just tiers so that she's not having to figure out a separate number for every single home, right?
Oh yeah, she'll quit.
Right? But you can set that up as a tier and stair step that, right? So that the little old lady isn't getting hit near as hard as the family is creating all the impact to your system. And the same thing, do you have schools here? You have schools here, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, okay. We need to look at how we want to start out with this. Now this is where Janelle, I can pull her by her ear in here and help you, help her, because she's really good at this. Because it may pay to do a little bit of grant up, or a little bit of, not grants, but a little bit of a bond up front to kind of smooth out the gap. Because we're going to have, you know, it's possible you may look and say, gee, we need to replace a bunch of equipment because we've been putting it off. So maybe what you want to do is borrow a little bit and then smooth out that big peak and then spread that out a little bit and put that as part. So does that make, you understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of creative financing to get this ball rolling, until once you get it in the motion, then after that it's gonna self-fund. But you can look at all the different funding sources, and Janelle's really good to help us with that. But this just shows what your costs are, and I think I pretty well beat that to death. We want to identify our stakeholders, and obviously you guys are the town council. This is not a really big city, so you're pretty much it, right? You need to develop a mission statement. I think those are fine. This is an okay, whatever it is you want to do, Your mission statement is what you want to put right on the front of this plan so that you can let the people know who are following you what you're trying to do. Sources of data, you know, as-builts, drawings, we can find all that stuff. You guys know your system pretty well. And then Janelle will help you with your financing, putting in a cash flow plan and stuff like that. She's really good at those and she can help you with that. But it literally is a paradigm shift. It is a change in the way you think about your finances. Okay? It's a change in, now instead of just getting by, now you're kind of looking long range and putting money away for long range and you're adjusting it. And the cool thing about this kind of a plan is she should be able to set that up so it'll project what your rates need to be and what your income and expenses and what your budget should be each year for the next 4 or 5 years. And that makes it really nice. Are you on fiscal or are you guys on calendar?
Fiscal.
You're on fiscal. See, that makes it really nice in May and June when you're scratching your head going, oh my God, I gotta put the budget together. Oh no, Janelle already did it for me. It's already in place. Now we need to raise this one a little and change that one a little more. Okay, you guys still with me or you gone to sleep? All right, here's where you can find it. If you want to go to EPA and look at their program, it's a great program. It is very complicated, but it's a great program. And with that, any questions? I did not do that graphic though. I created the one where he's kicking the can. That I can't. I don't know how that got done. That was somebody way more talented than me. Any questions about what I told you? Make sense?
Do you have this presentation online somewhere where we get into that, or
with this presentation here?
Yeah,
I can email it to you. But I have that spreadsheet and that stuff. It's on Google Sheets. Do you have a copy of that?
Yes.
Eric? Okay. So you already have
that? I emailed that to everybody.
Just okay, good. Just yeah, so you've got that. And I'm perfectly fine with coming over. I mean, I probably, this is no lie, I'll bet you I had the shortest commute of every one of you to get here to this meeting tonight.
Right on.
Any bets? No. So, you guys know where Gordon Spencer lives?
Yep.
I live right across the street from him. If he backed out of his driveway, he'd back right in my garage.
It'll probably happen.
So, I could have walked over here if it wasn't so fat and lazy. So, I don't mind getting with you guys and Eric, if you want me to help you kind of work around and work through this. If you can do it, you don't have to eat it all at once, but you can kind of see why it's important to really do it all at once and get it going.
Yeah, thanks for coming and doing that. I think this component, like I said, Janelle started talking about this, and it's like, we don't really talk about this area, but it definitely needs to be figured out.
Well, you know, the thing is that most don't think that's a bad thing, because most communities are like this, you know? And you think it's hard to look that way. And like I said, the people are going to be like, well, I would be surprised. However, I mean, you're going to have some keyboard warriors, granted, because they always exist. And if you raise rates, you know, their kids are going to starve and the cows aren't going to be able to fart enough. And so green gases are going to get worse and all this. I mean, they're going to create whatever they can create. But I bet you a lot of people, if you can come in with this kind of a structure, if you can come in with what Janelle's putting together and you can show this is why we need to do this, I doubt you'll have a lot of problems.
Thank you.
And Janelle, when I talked to her today, said that if anybody wants to go through in real time on either of the sheets, they're Google Sheets, so she can log on at the same time you're logging on if you have questions or you want to try different scenarios.
Yeah. And Janelle's great because she can merge all that together. She's got way good talent.
Appreciate your time, Dennis. Thank you.
No worries. I hope that helps you.
Yeah, it does. We helps us understand a few things. Appreciate your time.
Well, these communities have a lot of moving parts, don't they?
Yeah.
Come bearing gifts.
Okay.
No, no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Mary, thank you. We'll go ahead and move forward. You feel free to clean up and leave when you want.
Oh, okay. I'm just gonna pass out gifts here.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe we'll give you one.
Let's go to agenda item number 6, council reports. Robin, we'll start with you.
Some time ago, I brought up the concept of us having some type of a community celebration. And we started down that road and even got a couple of historians in town to begin the process of creating a town history, or a history of this area, which is still being finished by the time it's complete. In addition, I just thought we needed, because we have such a diverse population, we're all spread apart, to be able to have a time when we could all get together as a town and eat a little food, some music, or do something simple. And then it could grow over the years, but that's how all community celebrations start. They start very simple. Well, we were originally looking at Doug Seuss's property, and they've since come back and said that that's probably not going to work for them. I have talked to Michael and Lynn McLean, and they have said they would be willing to host it. They've got that garage that's out to the side of their home, and they could empty that and basically use that as a kind of a gathering spot and park cars on their ground. But I don't want to do this if it's something that maybe we don't want to do, or it's just too much work. But I really feel like we need to somehow do something that's gonna gather us together at least once a year, even if it's for a couple of hours. I just think it's a good idea. Well, if we're thinking about that, moving forward, if we're going to use it as a kind of a fall festival, you know, the harvest, around the harvest time. But I just throw that out there. When I did it before, I don't know, it didn't seem like to have rave reviews, but I'm wondering if we want to do that. If not, I'll just kind of stick a knife in it.
What are your thoughts? Just general thoughts. Would you guys feel like that would be something that was good, or as a community, get together, have a burger, listen to some tunes?
I think it would be great. I think just finding the right place to host something like that.
Yeah, I've talked with the McLeans, and obviously they would provide the entertainment and free of charge, which is pretty cool. And so we probably have to rent a couple of porta potties, and I'm thinking, Sloppy Joe's, corn, watermelon, maybe some homemade root beer, and keep it simple the first year, but at least we could rub shoulders with our neighbors a little bit. And you know, but anyway, I just wanted to know what everybody's thoughts are.
You should maybe ask the public, like a contest to name it, and that would create interest.
Yeah, well, we would form a committee, that would be one phase of that. We'd have a food committee, we'd have an entertainment group, we'd have somebody to help us with the meal and organizing it, and then we'd have an advertising committee, and maybe that would be part of what that advertising committee could do, is what do we call this thing, whatever. Anyway, here we are, 1st of May, and if we were going to do this sometime in October or whatever, then probably we don't have a lot of time to kick this can.
I think it sounds like a good idea. I think, Robin, why don't we continue to have you be the lead on that? Let's,
I had them enlisted before, and they were both gung-ho, and but maybe you've changed your mind, I don't know.
Let's see if we can pick a date later in the fall that's gonna work, and work with the McLeans, and then...
Well, the reason I bring it up, because Michael stopped me on the street and said, are we gonna do this or not, you know, and he was pretty insistent, because we, when I brought it up with him last year, then he had his
let me know if I can help you.
Open heart surgery, and he was laid up, and so we couldn't make it happen, but...
Well, let's pick one or two dates with them and see what's gonna work, and then let's circle back on it each month, and let's try and make it happen. Right, be a good thing.
If there's some life in this baby, then we'll spank it a couple of times and see what comes of it.
Let's spank it a couple of times and see what happens.
Okay, that's all.
Eric?
Nothing, thanks.
Okay. I don't have anything particularly to discuss tonight. Gary?
No, I thought there was gonna be some people here that had some questions in the beginning of the meeting or some issues that they brought up, but there's no sense in discussing it. They're not here, so. It was to do with some of the things that's happening in the RA5 zone. We'll see what they... I told them that our town, according to Eric, our town runs on complaints, and we get complaints and a written complaint, then we can act upon those things, so.
That's according to the mayor.
Oh, excuse me, yeah.
We act
slash on... /Scott/Eric.
We act on written complaints.
Right, and that's what... Thank you.
With a name generated on that written complaint.
Right. So,
okay.
Right. I think, it's a good idea to have, if we get the town together as a town and celebrate. I mean, there's been a lot of people that's put in a lot of time and a lot of effort, and there has been a lot of things accomplished. I mean, it may not be out in the forefront, but there's been many, many things accomplished in the time that we've been a town, so. There's a lot of people that need thanked.
Yes, sir. I believe that to be 100% true. A lot of people put a lot of time into the town, so. Anything else, Gary? Okay. All righty. No engineer report tonight. Let's go to the planning report. There's a copy of that right there. Eric's here to answer any questions as you look down through that. Feel free to ask any question you would like.
While you're looking at that, Adura has our final inspection and pass on the UDOT broadband on Dean Road. That project's been completed. The UDOT broadband goes up that one now.
So,
they just keep going a little at a time.
So, all the boxes they put in and the little posts they stick in the ground, who's going to maintain all that stuff? They are?
That's them.
Yep. Because I see some's already run over.
Yeah, it's all them. That's their deal.
They're responsible for that. Yeah.
Let me just say that when they put the line into our house, they cut our sprinkler line. for the lawn. Anyway, they were there within an hour and had it fixed, and so I just have to keep saying enough nice things about them. I mean, they held up their part of the garden. It was their fault, and they fixed it.
Point.
And they've been really responsive to the town. I don't think they've submitted a plan yet that I haven't changed something on. And they've been... I mean, I get they want to run down the side of the road with no utilities, but those corridors are preserved for future things that the town's doing. So we like to keep everything in its place, and so they've been good to work with us that way.
So that system's all hardwired system to residential, right?
That's fiber all the way.
I just want to say one thing too, like, I mean, you look at this planning report, there's quite a number of items on there, but there's quite a number of items that we're working on that still hadn't even hit this report.
Right, most of these have application.
These are all application driven and applications that's been looked at and submitted, and so there's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on in this little community, so.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Do we need to talk about Samantha and the complaint there?
Eric, if you'd like to talk about that just briefly, that would be good. Just update everybody.
We did have that complaint on the tar trailers, and the council directed Scott to direct me to go and do that. So I went and met with Brent, talked to his doorbell cam first, then we had a conversation, and I sent that to him. He really wanted to know who was complaining. He had no idea who was complaining. And of course, I redacted that from the complaint. I didn't want to start a neighborhood war unless we have to. So anyway, that is his own business. Those are his trucks. So he told us that they would leave at the end of the month. Those have since gone. They're not there. So I think that thing has resolved itself on that complaint, but he was really good to work with. He said, I'll go to court so I can find out who it was. And I'm like, dude, that's not where we want to end up. That's the last place. So.
Why do you think that he would respond that way?
That he wouldn't?
He would respond that way. I'll take him to court if you're not going to tell me who it is. I mean.
Well, I think he wanted to know who it was so he could address it. He had no idea who it was. And so he wanted to know who was doing the complaining. And I just said, you don't need to know that at this point. If there's an issue, then let's fix it. If it continues, you'll know who it is.
So he didn't think he had an issue with what
he did? He did not think he had an issue. In fact, I sent him a copy of her complaint, and he denied those, that it wasn't going in and out every day, that it parked there for the winter, he doesn't use it. So I said, great. Here's the complaint. Here's your answer. What can we do?
There's two sides to this.
Yep. So it's resolved anyway. The trailers are gone. And turned out good.
Did. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. Go from there. Okay. Any other comments on that? Eric, thank you for all you do. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9. Reporter's office warrants approval and announcements. That's right there in your packet.
Oh, sorry, did I print the wrong order?
It's all right.
Oh, and by the way, I just forgot to change March 24 to April. Yeah, but you can see that I updated it again today, so. And I will change it on the permanent copy.
Is there any update in terms of where on our leased office space, I mean, is the family moving forward?
Yeah, that's why it's going to Mark Beaufort now. Like, that's who the check's made out to. They raised the rate to $650, and we have a lease now for the next fiscal year. So not this July, but the next July. Yeah, yeah. They were willing to give us an 18-month lease, but Mark did buy the building.
So how much did that go up per month?
From $500 to $650, but
$150.
Yeah, but that does include our internet and all our utilities. The only thing we pay for in the office is the phone. So it's actually still a pretty good deal.
Pretty cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
the top of your head, do you recall what the Smith Harpixon is for? What do you remember what that?
Yeah, it's, they're reviewing both of the cases.
Okay.
So we've had them look over Matt Church's work just to make sure everything's correct.
And that has come in beneficial, I will tell you that. Having them review some of the documents and stuff in these two cases, it's been beneficial to the town of Daniel, so.
But that's also, they didn't get it to me in time for, so that's actually 2 months worth of work, so that's just them reviewing. So it's relatively inexpensive for having two cases in flux.
Okay. I'll call for a motion if you're ready.
I do have one more announcement. I had Aaron over to fix the printer this morning, and then he dropped off the newly configured iPad to Robin. By the way, your password's 123456.
Great.
You're welcome.
Now it's on the
record. Write that down.
Now it's on the
record. So now it's so that now everybody, he can go in and change it. You can change it or not and risk. Risk Lisa Dinga grabbing it.
That's clever.
She will.
Anyway, but while he was there talking to me, I just really love Aaron. He's just like,
he's the best.
He's just so upfront. He goes, I told you that if there was ever bad news, I wouldn't dance around it. I would just tell you. And I'm like, because it's been like 45 days we've been trying to get stuff turned over from Executech, and it's just like, you know, chasing your tail. Anyway, and I'm like, oh no, what? And he said, I know that we discussed that your council members don't want to do two-point authentication. Well, in 90 days, they're not going to have a choice. And that's not going to be whether or not your town council wants to. It's whether or not Microsoft will let you log in. So that's going to happen. But you can send it to your cell phone as a text. That's what I do. Every state one that I'm on has two-point authentication. And one sends me an email, and the other one sends me a text. So there you go.
Thank you.
Although that will be great for my fraud risk assessment.
Okay. Call for a motion.
I would make a motion that we accept the warrants as stated.
Call for a second.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Let's go to agenda item number 11. This is just for your general information. We will be having a training and on grammar and open public meetings on the what's the date, Kim?
It's at the net. It's the 15th.
The 15th. The
it's
planning.
It's before meeting. The next planning commission meeting.
June 15th.
6 o'clock.
No, May.
Oh, May 15th.
May 15th.
At 6 o'clock.
Six
here.
6 o'clock.
Here.
I.
And the planning commission is also invited.
Yeah. I skipped. I actually skipped agenda item number 10. I'm sorry, but I did want to just before we do that, I want to just update you, and Eric can correct me on this, but we've actually got all the parts and stuff in now for the tank, and Jonesy will be in to repair everything on the 7th, which is tomorrow. And so the money's already been allocated and everything 6-8 months ago to do all of that, and they finally got all the parts and stuff in, and so that work will be done tomorrow.
That's chlorinator.
Chlorinator and yep, all of that in the pump house, so.
So it's the chlorinator repair, not the tank?
Yeah, it's chlorinator.
Oh, chlorinator.
So that's been, we started talking about that a year and a half ago, I think, and we finally got all that in, and that'll be repaired, so.
And the good news is they honored their bid.
They did. They honored their price, and that's good.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to agenda item number 10. That is the approval of the meeting minutes for April 1st, 2024. And if you've had time to look at that, I'll call for a motion whenever you're ready.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of the April 1st meeting.
I second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Christian, yes.
Okay. Let's, I don't think that we will be going into a closed session tonight, so I'll call for a motion to adjourn the meeting. Call for a motion.
Make a motion that we adjourn meeting.
Second.
May 6th, 2024.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Christian, yes.